Okay, so the project is due today. The project part one is due today. I assume you're all done. I would be closing the homework two very soon, and probably it's going to be due sometime next week. Okay, so this is just so that you have an idea. And then project part B should be up soon. Basically, we are discussing the material needed for that right now, which is page rank and authorities hub, so that should be up soon too. Okay. Do we have fewer people now that the project is due? Looks like. Any questions? Okay. So we were discussing authorities hub, which is a form of link analysis to decide page importance. Before I got to the discussion on page, authorities hubs, I have done this informally in the class, which I'm going to just repeat. And in fact, I would like you to think of if there are other things we can add to this list. So the point I'm trying to make here is that the notion of importance of a page is very hard to pin down. There is no obvious single number that explains the importance of a page. Okay. All we can talk about are some desiderata, some desirable properties for page importance characteristics. Okay. These include, for example, whatever is the importance of the page, it should be related to the topic of the query. It should be query sensitive. Okay, so the topic and the query, it should be sensitive to the topic of the query. It probably should be sensitive to the user, because different people consider different pages important. Okay, and it should also be sensitive to the structure of the web. This is one of the things we are interested in talking about, which is basically the way the pages are linked to each other. Okay. This, I don't know what else. Should we have other things that it should be sensitive to? One of the issues is we'll make up a list and then we'll ask whether a particular idea, such as authorities hubs or page rank or something else, whether it satisfies any of these properties. Okay, that's the question. The other thing is that it almost doesn't matter what the importance number is, as long as it doesn't keep changing with respect to minor perturbations to the web structure. Okay, so if you are interested in the link structure of the web, and if there's a small change to the link structure, as in new page coming or somebody making a connection to somebody else, the rank better not change drastically. Okay, so that's an important thing. And then finally, one other thing, because it's web and, you know, because anybody can make pages any which way, you would like the importance number to be hard to subvert. Okay, because if somehow it is easy to subvert, then somebody will do something such that their importance will be increased, or their friend's importance will be increased. Okay, so it should be robust with respect to subversion, it should be stable, and it should be sensitive to these things. Maybe more, I'm not completely sure. You should think about this, but clearly it should be sensitive to the query, it should be sensitive to the user. Okay. In fact, I would even say that what we should do is it should be sensitive to the query. And one, if you can't be sensitive to the query, at least be sensitive to the query topic. And it should be sensitive to the user. And if you cannot be sensitive to the user, be sensitive to the user population. These are the indented ones are, you'll notice, a way of, it might be hard to have an importance metric which differs based on every query, for example. Okay, and similarly, it may be hard to keep track of an importance metric that differs from every user to every other user. So one thing you might want to do is maybe reduce your demands and say, well, it will be sensitive to the topic of the query, where the, you know, many, many queries might correspond to the same topic. Okay, and similarly, it could also be sensitive to, instead of a single user, a certain user population. Okay, these are ways in which you can approximate. But it's clear that it should be sort of sensitive to those pieces. One thing I want you to think of and try to add your thoughts on is if there are other things that page importance should be sensitive to. Okay. For example, I can think of one more thing right now. Shouldn't page importance be sensitive to how many people are looking at the page? For example. Right? It should be sensitive to how many people are looking at the page. Do I have that anywhere there? No. So I should write that. So part of what I'm saying is, you know, in fact, you know, upfront one might think that this and this are related, which they are. Like the link structure is sort of related to the number of people looking at it, because if every page on the web is somehow making a connection to your page, then more and more people are looking at your page. But there is this issue that sometimes there are hot topics that just arise because somebody mentioned it on the TV. Okay, and so you're all going to search for a particular topic. So in fact, those sort of topics they just arose now. So it became very important now, and it may not yet have been reflected in the link structure of the web. Okay, and so in fact, this is almost not a different dimension, which is the number of people looking at it, number of times the page is being looked at. So these are things that you would like to have, and we'll see if different versions do this. Okay, and then we talked about authorities hubs, and I talked about the simple idea that all we want to do is we repeatedly do the following thing. The authority, so each page is given an authority number and a hub number. Yes?
The link structure you mentioned, authority hubs, or?
No, link structure is just a link structure. Link structure is A is pointing to B, and B is pointing to C, and C is pointing to D, and B is also pointing to D. That's the link structure.
How is this important?
What? Because if lots and lots of people are pointing to you, presumably you are an important page.
So that is the same as authority, right?
No. Link structure is just this adjacency matrix. It's just the connection. Now, how would you? So if I give you all, when I say that I have the link structure of the web, suppose I have billion pages of the web, then I have a 1 billion by 1 billion matrix, which tells me whether, you know, U with entry in that matrix will have one if U page has a link to with page. That's all. That's what link structure is. But clearly, importance is a function of the link structure. But, you know, how are you converting this huge matrix into a number? Now, authorities have converted into a number, right? And we'll see page rank converts into a different number. They're sort of related, but, you know, they're different. Okay, so you are mining, you know, this big matrix, this link structure matrix, for some numbers ultimately. Authority sub does it one way, and the way it is doing it is defining for each node the authority-ness and the hubness of that node. Okay, and the authority-ness of a node is defined in terms of the hub scores of the nodes pointing to it. Okay. And the hubness of a node is defined in terms of the authorities of the pages it points to. It seems like a reasonable idea. So the important people are, so, you know, hubs are sort of your things like your Yahoo pages. And authorities are specific pages that are like the best on some particular topic. Presumably, if you have a link from Yahoo, your authority value will increase. And if Yahoo is basically putting a link, putting links to a bunch of losers, then its hub value would go down because it's not a useful survey guide. Okay, hub, think of hubs as survey papers. Think of authorities as the most important original papers in each area. Okay, and these are connected because important original papers are described in the most important survey papers. Okay, and so on and so forth. So it's like a mutual reinforcement. Okay, so all we are doing essentially is we know that the authority is going to be a function of the authority of this page is going to be a function of the hub values of the pages pointing to it, and the hub value of this page is going to be a function of the authorities of the pages it points to. Now, what function? I just picked a simple function, linear function. Just summation. And then I keep doing this. So presumably in the beginning, so the question of course is, the question of course is there a solution to this set of simultaneous equations? Is there a solution, is there a unique solution to the set of simultaneous equations where authority is defined in terms of hubs and hubs are defined in terms of authority? This is actually a set of equations right now here. Okay, and we said, one way you can actually try to solve this set of simultaneous equations is iteration, give some numbers for authorities and hubs, and start repeatedly modifying authorities in terms of hubs and hubs in terms of authorities. Now, how long will you do it? You would do it until presumably nothing changes. Okay? If you do this kind of an idea, do you expect things to converge? And we notice that basically the ith step of update of authority can be written in terms of this A is the adjacency matrix, which is the link structure of the web. Okay, so A has, you know, ijth value is 1 if I is pointing to j. Okay, now A of I in the ith iteration, authority would be set as authority vector. The AI is the vector of authorities for all the nodes on the web, on your graph. Okay, so this vector can be simultaneously set as A transpose times the hub vector of the previous iteration. And then hub vector can be set as A times the authority vector of the current iteration. And you keep doing this. This is what I'm saying in updating authorities and hubs. Now, as I mentioned last time, what this means essentially is if you actually notice HI minus 1 is defined in terms of AI minus 1. So really, AI is defined in terms of AI minus 1. AI is nothing but A transpose A times AI minus 1. Okay? And similarly, HI is nothing but AA transpose times HI minus 1. And so if you keep doing this, then in essence, what you're doing is A of I is A transpose A power I times A0, and then H of I is AA transpose power I times H0. Now the worry of course is you would like this to have, remember, it should converge to something irrespective of where you started from. Okay, so the answer, this A of I and H of I should be independent of A0 and H0. Okay, and we know that that is actually the case if you in fact power iterate. So this is a square matrix, square symmetric matrix, A transpose A. If you take any vector and you keep multiplying it many times with a matrix, then ultimately what you get is only the component of the original vector in the primary eigenvector direction. Okay? So you know for sure the moment you see this that it's not clear whether the vector itself, the entire vector itself was going to converge, but the unit vector would converge because there is a eigenvector, you know, the unit vector would be the unit vector in the eigenvector direction, primary eigenvector direction. Okay, so all I'm saying is if you do this, which is something that you decided to do because it seemed to make sense in terms of authorities and hubs, it will indeed converge. Okay. And so all you need to do is make sure that after doing this, you can actually take just the unit vector after any number of iterations, just take the unit vector in that direction that you have. So if you have a vector, you divide it by its magnitude, then you have the unit vector, right? Now, since you anyway only want unit vector, you may as well, at every iteration, normalize the vector. That way, what you can do is you can make sure that when you are iterating, the vector doesn't become larger and larger and larger in terms of coefficients. So if you normalize it every iteration, then at some point of time, in essence, the unit vector's direction isn't changing, so all the coefficients remain more or less constant between two iterations. Then you stop. That would be your stable point for authorities and hearts. Okay, so now authority vector in this computation would be the primary eigenvector of A transpose A matrix, and hub vector is the primary eigenvector of AA transpose matrix. And I also mentioned as I was leaving last class that since it's only the primary eigenvector, why not just compute eigen decomposition and pick the first eigenvector? It turns out that that's costlier way to do things. It turns out if all you want is the primary eigenvector, the very fastest way known is to do this, power iteration. Okay? So actually, since we're talking about that, let me do two things, first of all. So here are some numbers, just so that is an example. So here is a particular matrix, a particular graph that I just made up, Q1, Q2, Q3, P1, P2, with this link structure. Okay? In the beginning, you can set pretty much any value for the authority vector and any value to the hub vector. The normal thing to do is just avoid doing 0, 0, 0 for everybody. Okay? Pretty much anything will work. In fact, there is a rule as to what is the necessary condition such that you would converge to a stable point. But most vectors that you could think of would converge. So, for example, it's normally fine to just start with 1, 1, 1, 1, 1 for all the authorities. And all the hubs again 1, 1, 1, 1. And then if you do one iteration, right, if you do one iteration, what happens is these guys are not having anybody looking at them. So their authority value in the next iteration becomes 0. Okay? Whereas the authority values for, so Q1 has 1 because P1 is showing it in the first iteration. And then P1's authority is 3 links, so 3, and P2 is 2. So your current authority vector is 1, if you assume that the vector is written as this, 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 then it is 1, 0, 0, 3, 2. Okay, and then you normalize it. Okay. Now, the same way, if you do the hub operation, by the way, you have to realize based on our argument that it doesn't really matter when you wind up normalizing. You could actually avoid normalization all the way until the end and just normalize. That's still fine. Nothing is going to change. All that matters is the direction. Okay. So in this particular case, I also did the hub operation using these authority values. I computed the hub values. Since this is 3, this is 2, right? Then Q1, which is pointing to a 3 and a 2, will have the hub value 5 by our analysis, right? And similarly, Q2 is pointing to a 3 alone, so it has the hub value 3. And Q3 is pointing to a 3 and a 2 again, so it also has a hub value 5. Now, P1 is pointing to Q1, whose authority is 1, so at the hub value of P1, H of HP1 is 1. So notice that in this particular case, P1 has both a hub value and authority value. Okay? So after normalization, so you have a hub vector, you have an authority vector. And after normalization, the authority vector becomes this. Okay? And that would be the hub vector. And you can do this. Essentially, you can, you know, all during normalization is you're dividing each coefficient by the magnitude of the vector. So this is one iteration. And you do, after two iterations, the vectors will look like that. After five iterations, the vectors would look like that. Okay? In fact, after five iterations, you can already see that the numbers start making sense. So for example, all this is saying is the authority values of Q1, Q2, Q3 are 0. even though we started with everybody's authority to be 1, we ended with Q1, Q2, Q3 being 0. P1 has a higher authority than P2. Okay. Again, one other thing I should have mentioned earlier is the actual authority, actual importance number is less important than the relative order of the importance number. Right? Because you don't actually use the importance number directly. It's more useful to know whether a particular page is less or more important than other one. Okay. So in this case, in fact, you see that this is P1 has a higher authority than P2, which you would agree more or less, because more people are pointing to this, less people are pointing to this. Okay. And similarly, Q1 has a higher hub value than Q2, and Q1 has the same hub value as Q3, which again makes sense. Because both of them are pointing to the same guys, Q2 is only pointing to one of the important people, so it has less hub value. And what's more interesting is between second iteration and the fifth iteration, you already see things are already coming close. So in fact, the way you stop this iteration is you take the absolute difference between the coefficients between two iterations, and when it falls below certain epsilon value, then you stop. Okay, so in fact, the simple thing to do is, given AI and AI plus 1, okay, you take the absolute difference between the coefficients of AI and AI plus 1 across all dimensions, take the max of it and bound it by some epsilon, okay, whichever is the predetermined epsilon. And if the maximum difference along any dimension on these vectors is less than epsilon, then you stop. That's the way to do it, right? Now, why does this procedure converge? Why the procedure converges should be, this is sort of a background on the matrix theory. In general, when you multiply a vector by a matrix, what you are winding up doing is you are scaling up the vector as well as rotating the vector. You do two things at the same time. When you multiply a vector by a matrix, you scale the vector. So the, after the multiplication, you get a new vector. So the basic idea is I have, I have the new vector is scaled up, larger probably in magnitude, and it also has been rotated. It has different projections in different directions. Okay? And another interesting thing that we know is, in fact, if you remember the way eigenvectors are defined, how is eigenvector defined? A times V is lambda times V. This is how eigenvector is defined, right? So what we are saying is, are there vectors V such that multiplying V by A only scales the vector, it does not rotate it? That's exactly what we mean by the eigenvector equation. So for any matrix, there are certain vectors such that for those vectors, for the vectors in those directions, multiplying that vector by the matrix is only going to increase the size of the vector. It's not going to rotate it any further. So you can think of those vectors as the latent dimensions of the matrix. So those are the real dimensions of the matrix. Okay? Now these lambdas, in essence, are telling you, so you know that there may be multiple equations for this, multiple solutions to this equation. And for certain classes, so normally the eigenvalues can be, eigenvalue is this, and eigenvector is this. There may be multiple vectors such that for each vector there is a different eigenvalue. Okay? Now, normally we talk about primary eigenvector to be the one which has the highest lambda. Now, one other important issue is normally if you take any random matrix, the eigenvalues can be complex. But if you take square symmetric matrix, which is the matrix we are looking at, A transpose and A transpose A are both square symmetric matrices. Right? If you take square symmetric matrix, eigenvalues are going to be real. Okay? And if you have a bunch of real values, then there is a total order on them. such that there's the largest, the second largest, the third largest. In the worst case, they're all equal. And some of them may be equal, but there is a total order. Okay? Now, the other issue is, if you take vectors in those directions, those will only be scaled up by the lambdas corresponding to that, the eigenvalues corresponding to that. Now, what can you say about a vector u which is not an eigenvector? What happens if you multiply this same, this you know, a normal vector u by matrix A, which has a bunch of other eigenvectors, let's say v1, v2, v3. What you can do is, you can consider the projections of u. Suppose, for making things easy, let's assume that there are only three eigenvectors, v1, v2, v3. Three eigenvectors which solve this equation. So what I can do is, I can take any random vector. By definition, the eigenvectors form an orthonormal basis. Remember that. That means they're all perpendicular to each other. Okay? And they span the space. So u can be written in a, so the vector u can be written in terms of its projections along direction v1, along direction v2, along direction v3. So u can actually be written, let's say, as k1 times v1 plus k2 times v2 plus k3 times v3. U originally used to be, you know, it was probably, you know, 5 times I plus 7 times j plus 9 times k, where I, j, k are the original axes. U, v, w, I mean, v1, v2, v3 are axes that really correspond to the matrix's eigenvector. Since they are orthogonal, you could have written u in terms of its components across the eigenvalues, eigenvector direction. Now, think about what happens when you now multiply A times U. You would then multiply A times this whole thing, which will be A times this, A times this, and A times this. When you multiply A times this, you'll get lambda 1 times V1. You multiply A times this, you'll get lambda 2 times V2. You multiply A times this, you'll get lambda 3 times V3. Now if you multiply again by another A, you would get lambda 1 square times V1, lambda 2 square times V2, lambda 3 square times V3. And if you multiply it k times, it will be lambda 1 power k, lambda 2 power k, lambda 3 power k. Now suppose it is the case that lambda 1 is strictly less than lambda, I'm sorry, lambda 1 is strictly greater than lambda 2 is greater than lambda 3. Then what is happening? As you multiply, the relative magnitude of this guy keeps increasing exponentially compared to the other guy. Okay, another way of thinking about it is that if you consider the unit vector in this direction, so you are essentially doing v1 plus lambda 2 by lambda 1 power k v2 plus lambda 3 by lambda 1 power k v3. I just multiplied by lambda 1 everywhere. Since this is less than 1, as you keep exponentiating it, these will become zeros. So the only thing that's left is the basically the projection of u in the original primary eigenvector direction. Since you're only taking the unit vector, then you really are taking what's left is the primary eigenvector. So there is no surprise. That's exactly how it's supposed to happen. Okay? So this is why it explains, whatever I said is described here again. You can read this. This is why power method converges. Now, what is the requirement for, if I start with a u, this happens, but the question is, what must be true such that I will in fact converge to V1, what must be true for U such that I will in fact converge to V1? What? Okay, that's one thing, but suppose that, assume for now, and then another thing, in fact, this also shows you how many iterations do you need to do such that you will converge to V1. Okay, that's a question. What do you think, can you say something about the lambda i's such that, a condition on lambda I such that that condition, you know, the bigger that quantity is, the faster the convergence. That's kind of connected to what you're saying. If you consider what's called the eigen gap is lambda 1 minus lambda 2. The bigger lambda 1 minus lambda 2 is, the faster you converge. If lambda 1 is equal to lambda 2, basically you don't converge. If it is very close, it takes more iterations to converge. The bigger the difference is, the fewer iterations, because you just drive down that, you know, that fraction essentially becomes small to begin with, and so you take a few exponentiations, it becomes zero. That's point one. Okay, so eigen gap matters in terms of the speed of convergence. Okay, for power iteration in general. The second issue is, what are the required conditions such that I will in fact converge to the unit vector in the direction of the primary eigenvector? What if U that I start with is equal to V2? Remember, V2 is the secondary eigenvector. What if U is equal to V2? Then what would happen when you do the primary, when you do the power iteration? Because if U equal to V2, then this K1 would have been 0. This K3 would have been 0. So this and this is 0, so you'll only converge to the secondary eigenvector. And more generally, what if U is KV2 plus K dash V3? Once again, you will converge to V2 rather than V1. Okay? So all you need is what? You must have what? A non-zero projection for your initial vector in the primary eigenvector direction. Now, you can't guarantee this upfront, because you need to know what the primary eigenvector is to make sure that you have non-zero projection. But of all the many, many vectors you can choose, you have to be truly unlucky to choose vectors which have zero projection in one of the axes, one of the eigenvector axes. But this discussion should also tell you that there may actually be a way of getting, so I made this power iteration as a way of computing the primary eigenvector. Is there a way of doing power iteration so that you can compute the secondary eigenvector? In fact, the paper by Kleinberg, in the JACM paper by Kleinberg, if you read that, which is also one of the indented readings, he asked the following question. Since we seem to be that crazy about primary eigenvectors, right? I mean, primary eigenvectors are defining authorities and hub values. Why not secondary eigenvector? Maybe they also will be useful. Maybe why not the third eigenvector? Maybe why not fourth eigenvector? So it's like maybe they do something. You know, let's try to look for what is the use of it. And in fact, if you read the later part of his paper, he makes very interesting claims about the properties of secondary eigenvectors in terms of the link structure. In particular, they are able to differentiate clusters in the link matrix. Majority versus minority clusters in the link matrix. But the question, a simpler question I'm going to ask here is, can I do something to get secondary eigenvector using power iteration? As long as you start with a vector which has even a small non-zero projection in the primary eigenvector direction. If you do enough iterations, everybody else dies, and the only thing that remains is the primary eigenvector. So one idea is you find a vector. After finding the primary eigenvector, you now restart the power iteration by taking any vector, removing its projections from the new one, from the primary eigenvector. Then you must go to the next one in line, which is the secondary eigenvector. Okay? So once you understand how this thing works, you can, you know, play along with it. So in general, this is actually what I said will wind up can also be done this way. So if you start with a matrix M, and if you want to find a new matrix whose power iteration will converge to the secondary eigenvector, then you can always start with M2, which is M minus, removing the projection, lambda times E1, E1 prime, where E1 is the primary eigenvector that you just found. Okay? If you do this, in fact, if you do this, you can prove to yourself with this that, in fact, M2, every eigenvector of M is also an eigenvector of M2, first point. And second point, the eigenvalue corresponding to E1 for M2 would be 0. Which means whoever is next in line becomes the primary eigenvector. Cute idea. Okay? And it's not just, you know, for the heck of doing it. In fact, it is useful, as I said, you know, Kleinberg argues that secondary eigenvectors can also have useful properties. Okay? This is basically, this argument is what I tried to write on the board there. You can look this up later. And again, as I said, the rate of convergence of the power iteration depends upon how distinct is lambda 1 corresponding to lambda 2. I mean, how much bigger lambda 1 is from lambda 2. Yes? This is authority subs, first of all. Let's not. So here's actually a very interesting point, and since we did enough discussion, I can bring this up, which is, see, I'll show this to you now, and then I'll come back to it a little later again, I guess, if I can see where it is. Yes, what you said is right. Okay. Except, one problem with authority subs is, if the eigen gap originally is too small, then as you add a few pages, then the eigenvectors can change quite radically. And since the direction of eigenvector ultimately defines your authorityness and hubness, it's the direction that matters. Okay? If original eigen gap is small to begin with, you are dead, because you are going to be changing very radically even if you add a few extra pages. And we'll actually see, I'll show you clearly that, you know, even without all this technical discussion, authority subs can be very unstable in terms of link structure, which in itself is a bad thing, because we said it almost doesn't matter what the importance that you decide is, just be consistent. Don't keep flip-flopping between, you know, this is important today, this is important tomorrow. Okay. Now, an interesting analysis, and in fact, this is a nice picture to think of, which is, if you want to think in terms of eigenvectors, one geometric interpretation of eigenvectors is as the major axis of the ellipsoid that closely fits the data. So, if you are talking about two-dimensional data, the ellipsoid that closely fits the data would be an ellipse. Okay? Consider two situations, situation one, situation two. You know, the solid lines is the original part, and dotted lines is after some extra changes have been made to the link structure. Suppose, in this case, you notice that it's a circle. So this is a eigenvector, this is another eigenvector, close to a circle. So these values, the eigenvector sizes would be proportional to the lambda. So in fact, in this case, lambda 1 minus lambda 2 would be close to 0. And here, lambda 1 minus lambda 2 would be much higher than 0. Right? Now consider adding a few extra points. So when you add extra pages, then link structure has changed a little bit. So this circle, which is almost a circle but was slightly an ellipsoid, became still almost a circle which is slightly different ellipsoid. You could hardly see any difference in the data itself, right? But the major axes have changed pretty significantly. Now the major axes are this and this. This is what your power iteration will tell you now. So in particular, if this is the major axis here and this is the major axis here, now the importance has changed pretty drastically for a small change. Right? Whereas for this guy, for about the same amount of change, the vectors have changed, but the new vector is almost in the same direction as the old vector. So it's very likely that there is no major drastic change in terms of relative importance of pages. Okay? So one problem of directly describing things in terms of authorities hubs is when the eigen gap winds up being small, you run the risk of being unstable with respect to small changes. Okay? But we'll come back to this. For now, still act as if authorities hubs is a great idea. It is in fact a great idea in many ways. But this, you could make sense of this just understanding eigenvectors. Okay. Question. Okay. So now the way of computing authorities hubs is, I've described this to you. The question remains as to what is the matrix M over which you are computing authorities hubs. So which is the set of pages for which you consider the link structure? You could do link structure for the entire web and compute authorities hubs, or you could do it for a subset of the web. Okay? This is actually an orthogonal issue from whether you're doing authorities hubs or not. Okay. Now, the way authorities hubs idea was originally introduced, it was introduced with a specific choice for the set of pages. Okay, the idea was the following thing. They said, since we started originally by saying, remember some number of classes back, we were trying to answer queries by doing vector similarity between the query and the keywords in the document. That was good enough. That was with respect to the query. And the only reason we started doing things other than that was because we felt there may be too many documents which have pretty much the equal similarity with respect to the query, and some of them might be very different in terms of importance with respect, you know, compared to some others. Right? So if that is our problem, if in fact we do believe that first you should look at documents that are relevant to the query in terms of highly similar to the query, and then consider the ones that are important among them, then it makes sense to first do the IR part and then do the link analysis. This is exactly what authorities hubs idea originally was. Okay? So the idea was, the simple idea was, you submit the query queue to the search engine, your current search engine, whichever it is, get the set of documents, like the top K documents that are most similar in terms of TF-IDF vector similarity. Then take these pages, grow this set of pages forward as well as backward. Forward by considering some levels forward in terms of pages that these pages point to, backward in terms of pages that point to these pages. Now you can do this growing k levels each direction. If k is infinity, you get the entire web. If k is one, k is zero, then you just get the original set itself, which may or may not be connecting to each other. In fact, you'd be extremely lucky if you got top 100 pages, right? Such that every page, every one of the 100 pages except one page points to that last page. So everybody points to the 100th page. Then clearly you know which is the most important page. 100th page is the most important page because everybody else is pointing to it. Right? But more likely than not, you know, there may not be enough link structure in that one level. Whereas if you go forward and backward, there will be indirect links between pages. Okay? So the A and H idea essentially was basically you take these results, you consider a forward set, which is a bunch of, this is just one level extension, bunch of forward pages, on one level bunch of backward pages. Now this is easy enough to do if you have the link structure of the web conveniently represented somewhere, which you need anyway to do any link analysis. Okay, if you have the link structure of the web, then you can tell me who is pointing to me. And clearly most search engines have to keep track of that. So once you get this, this is going to be your M matrix or your A matrix. Okay? Which is, that means the link structure of these pages is going to be your A matrix. Then you do A transpose A transpose A to get the, and then do the power iterations on them to get the authorities and all. Okay? So this is where you do the authorities hub. So you get the base, you start from the search engine results, expand it into a bigger set by going forward and backward, then take that set, initialize authorities hubs all to one, let's say, and then basically until the score converges, you do, you know, authorities update and hub update. When the scores converge, then you no longer have to worry about, then you know that all the pages are already top 100 pages in terms of content. So now you naturally know which of them are the authorities and which of them are the hubs. Great idea. Now, is this query dependent? Yes, because you got the original set by being, you know, sensitive to the query. Is this link dependent? Yes. Is it stable? We already saw that it's not actually stable, but you are not supposed to know this until I got there. Okay. So it is query dependent. In fact, it has nice properties, which is of being query dependent. Okay. In contrast, we'll see that the version that Google doesn't use this. Now, one of the reasons Google doesn't use this is what? What is the problem with this idea? When do you do this operation? Online, after you submit the query, you get the top 100 results, and then you say, wait, I'm doing some more stuff, and I get top, you know, K levels this side, K levels that side, and users are already leaving the terminal, and you're still doing power iteration. And, you know, hopefully you'll converge, but you'll give very good quality results to an empty room. That's the worry. Okay? If only we had patient users, we can give them lots of useful stuff, but they are impatient users, and this winds up taking resources at the most important CPU real estate in search engine's life, which is after the query is sent and before the results are given out. It almost doesn't matter how much you spend before people start asking you questions. Okay? But unfortunately, this you can't do before the query is given, because this whole thing depends on the query. Right? That's the trade-off. But it can give you much more useful results this way. Okay. There are a bunch of extra things that you can do with respect to authorities hubs. Remember I said one other desirable property of importance measure should be that it is resistant to easy subversion. Okay? So what if people are putting, you know, links to each other, and most links, in fact, the way the original authorities hubs has been defined, right, it's defined in terms of each link being equally important. Every link from this page to that page has weight 1. But the theory of converging to primary eigenvector doesn't care whether you started with 0-1 matrix or whether you started with fractional valued matrices. In fact, as long as you start with any real valued matrix, you take that matrix A and A transpose, it will be a real symmetric matrix, and the entire theory holds without any changes. Okay, the fact that you started with zeros and ones really didn't help your computations anyway, because the first step you do, the normalization, you are stuck with floating value numbers. So you may as well allow floating values in the link matrix itself. Now what does it mean to allow floating values in the link matrix? It's not that there is no link or there is a link. It could be you have a more important link, somebody else has a less important link from me. Okay, so given a page which has 15 links to 15 pages, you don't have to give ones to each of them. You can give, you know, 0.7 to some of them, 0.3 to some of them. Now, how do you decide this? Domain knowledge. So for example, one might say that a link to you from a page which is in the same domain as you are could be considered less important endorsement than a link to you from a page that is outside of your domain. Reasonable, right? I mean, you know, I'm assuming that you guys will put a link to me. But if people from some other university, Northern Arizona State University or something, put a link to me, somehow that should matter more. Because even though they don't know me, they still, you know, somehow want to put a link to me. That should count a little more than you guys putting a link to me. That's a reasonable idea. Of course, adversarial nature of the web is an open arms race, right? This was a great idea in 1998 when Authorities Hub's paper was written, when people couldn't make up their domains left and right. Okay, now you can actually still, you can have a page with 15 domains and you can still, you know, make it fail. So basically what we are doing here is one way of giving fractional values is to give intrinsic links. If you can somehow tell what are the intrinsic links, a transverse link is a link between pages from different domains. An intrinsic link is link between pages within the same domain. Give higher value to transverse links, lower value to intrinsic links. What is higher, what is lower? I don't care. You decide. A number. Bigger, this is smaller. All I care is now the new authority hub value somehow would be sensitive to the link structure, more directly sensitive. So when you're thinking about this, how about the following thing? If you do authority hub's value, oftentimes one might think that irrespective of the query, the most important page is the pagecounter.com page. Why? Assume that there is only one single, you know, pagecounter.com page. Everybody has a link to that to see if you come to their page, this guy will count and put the number of links, number of hits to the page. Now, if you just put that link, and if you assumed all links are equal, then whatever is your query, pagecounter.com is the biggest authority because everybody points to it. Right? Now, this is a different issue. It is a transverse link. You know, it's not in the pagecounter.com's domain. So you are in asu.edu and you're making a link to pagecounter.com. It's a transverse link. It should be important. So how do you deal with that? Well, there is a way. All you need to do is you need to see whether the link is connected to the query or not. There are many links from a page. There may be, for example, a page which says, if you are a Republican, go to this page. And another one says, if you are a Democrat, go to this page. The way you are doing, this page will, both those links would be considered equally valid, irrespective of whether your query is for Democrats or Republicans. So what do you do now? All you need to do is, in making the link structure matrix, you consider the text surrounding the link. Okay, so for each link, go k words, and m words before, m words after. Take the bag of words description of that. Take the similarity, vector similarity of that to the query. Whatever that number is, that is the weight for that link. You know that vector similarity has to be maximum 1, minimum 0. So, you know, it could be this way you could guarantee that relevant links are given higher weight than less relevant links. Now notice how far you came. Now you're now differentiating between zeros and ones into fractional link values based on the context of the query. This is way more context specific to the query than our original idea. Already our original idea is very specific because you actually started with the pages that are IR relevant to the content relevant to the query. But then unfortunately, because of the way the link structure works, you could still wind up giving too high an authority value to pages such as pagecounter.com, which makes no sense. So to deal with that, you consider the context surrounding the link. And what's beautiful here is, if you're in doubt, use vector similarity. Okay, how do I decide whether the context surrounding my link is relevant to the query? Yeah, just do the vector similarity. You know, consider everything to be a bag and do vector similarity, you'd be a happy kid. Okay? It improves, in fact, it does improve the authorities and hub values that you compute. They'll be even more query specific. Okay, in the context where there are pages saying, if you are Republican, go here, and if you're Democrat, go here, you would have considered the right link. So you'd get better authority value and hub value that are relevant to that query. Again, it is at the expense of, so what we did is to make the importance calculation query sensitive, we did three things. One, start with query answer pages. And then two, bias the link matrix to be sensitive to the query context. So you did these two. And both of them, unfortunately, get done in the highest real estate value time. So it does increase the effectiveness of your answers, but it also worsens your runtime performance in terms of the time you take from the time the query is given to the time you get back to the user. However, since this is a good idea, and since computational power is increasing by leaps and bounds, you may wind up finding that, you know, some 20 years from now, this is the one that the major search engines will use. Or more likely, this is the one Google would be using without telling you, and they'll still say PageRank. Okay? Because they no longer use PageRank, we all know that. But they still say it's PageRank. But they could be using this because this actually does have very good properties of being sensitive to the query. There was a raised hand somewhere. Yeah?
I have a doubt. Because calculating the similarity, I mean, and then are you not giving, if you find out that the pages which are in your domain have more similarity than the pages which are outside your domain, when you're giving more importance to links which are outside your domain, and if it's not similar to what you have within your domain, are you not trying to give importance to one only because they're also in the domain, not to the similarity?
Domain has nothing to do with the query, the similarity to the query, because all we care about is the content of the page. So it's not clear that it's the domain. It's just because one of the pages in the top 100 is an ASU.edu page, it doesn't mean that everything else will be an ASU.edu page. In fact, in particular, these pages here could all be from different domains. They're not from the same domain necessarily. Having computed this bigger set, all I am saying is consider transverse links to be more important than internally, intrinsic links. Okay, but in fact, I think the query, so those are two things. One is transverse links, and the other is query context being taken into account. You can ask yourself whether one of them subsumes the other idea. in terms of being robust to adversarial humans? You can ask yourself that and then try to answer it. Okay. Now notice that there are fudge factors here. I did not tell you how big should the transverse link's value be compared to intrinsic link. All I said is this should be bigger than this, that's all. Okay. And similarly, I basically, the considering the link context, you take the similarity value. Now, what if instead of taking vector similarity, you took Jaccard similarity? Does anything change? No, not really. I mean, in the sense, it's going to be a different set of numbers. Hopefully, who really gets to tell, you know, what is the exact fourth decimal, up to fourth decimal precision of the importance of a page? All we really care about is, do more or less, do they have some stable relation between them? Okay. And if you do this, you can actually, in fact, there have been authorities hubs is done by John Kleinberg, and there's a paper, you know, in fact, this is the only link analysis algorithm that was published in a major conference. Okay, it was published in SODA, which is Symposium on Discrete Algorithms, and then it became part of JACM, which is the most important journal in computer science that nobody reads, because it's really, really formal. But it's like considered the flagship journal of ACM. Okay, so it got published there. PageRank was submitted to SIGIR and it was rejected. And so after that they said, you know, why the heck should we submit? Let's make a company. And then I mean they wrote a couple of technical reports, etc., but they were actually rejected from main conference. Okay. Let's look at a couple of interesting aspects of authorities and hubs, which in fact corresponds to something that I mentioned earlier, which is consider a graph like this. Okay? This essentially, so assume that this is the link structure of the graph after you got the query results, you expanded it, and you have the base set. This is your link structure. So there are two components, disconnected components. What do you think are the high authority pages? 4 and 5 and 8. And what are the high hub pages? 1, 2, 3 and 6, 7. Okay? If you do authority hub computation on this graph, what happens is this guy's authority will be 0. This guy's authority will be 0. These two guys have all the authority. And this guy's, since this guy's authority is 0, these guys' hub values are 0. They are pointing to losers, so they are two losers. It's a survey paper of papers which nobody cares about, and so nobody reads the survey paper. Okay? And these guys hog all the hubness. Is this reasonable? Remember, we just defined, it's not that somehow these matrix operations have some intrinsic domain meaning to the concept of page importance. We essentially said they have to be connected to the link structure, and you know, an authority should be connected to hub, hub should be connected to authority, let's make them sum. And it turned out that it has a useful property that it in fact actually converges. That's how we were gung-ho about it. And then we came to this something like this, and we find that essentially if there are two disconnected components, if there are two disconnected components in the base set, right, then the smaller component becomes, basically gets zero authority. Now is this a problem? Consider something bipolar like abortion, okay, which has people either for it or against it or pro-choice or pro-life, okay. Suppose in your corpus, all you did was the query abortion. Okay? Not knowing anything about the user, whether they are, you know, left wing, right wing, liberal, non-liberal, feminist, non-feminist, whatever, what would be the reasonable thing to do? You should give a bunch of important, you know, pro-life position pages and a bunch of important, you know, pro-choice position pages. The two possible camps, because you don't know which one, right? Now suppose your corpus happen to have the structure wherein, you know, this one is, let's say, pro-choice and this one is pro-life. And, you know, since these guys can't get along with each other, it's unlikely that they'll have happy, friendly links to each other between, you know, unless they say, you know, for a really bad page, go here. And which presumably your query context analysis algorithm would have realized, and it would have removed those links from the context. So what happened in this case now? You would not get the second sense of the word. You would not get any items corresponding to the second sense of the word, despite the fact that your query similarity gave you both pro-choice and pro-life pages. And then you did this, you know, gobbledygook computation, and you lost one entire camp. Now, you know, Jay Leno says that he doesn't make Republican, Democrat jokes. You know, he doesn't do one joke. You know, he wants to be equally bad to both camps because he doesn't want to lose half his audience. You know, so as long as you are mean to everybody, you're okay. You know, right? So that's one of the reasons why he does not ever tell what his party affiliation is, presumably, and he doesn't want to just focus on one particular type of politics. Similarly, search engine, which actually only gives pro-choice results or pro-life results, will essentially have half of its clientele disappearing out of disgust because of, unfortunately, the bipolar nature of it. This is not good. Now, first of all, this, you have to understand that there is no surprise to this. Here is a little page that you can look at it nicely and see that, you know, if you have you know, P1 to PM showing you know, pointing to the page P, and Q1 to QN pointing to the page Q, and if M is greater than N, as long as it's strictly greater than 1, even by just one page, you can show, even without doing authority subcomputation, that this guy will hog everything. Okay, again, because what happens essentially is that you can show that the authority of Q divided by authority of P would be proportional to a high power of N over M. And since N is smaller than M, high powers of N over M will be zero. Okay, so this is the math coming and biting us. No, it was doing something that we wanted in one particular area, and now you fell for it, and now it come and beat you because it's not what you really wanted to do for you. Okay? So, you know, there is this idea that if you get lemons, then make lemonade, right? So you say that it's not a bug, it's a feature. Okay? So here is the idea why it's a feature. So you get, you run the authority subs on the base set, okay, and take the authorities, the top, all the pages that get high authorities and hubs, remove them all from the link matrix, then the next community will emerge. So if you did not know, and if you just came from Mars, or, you know, Mars also probably knows by now, if you came from Venus or some other place, and you don't know that on Earth there is this crazy, you know, controversy about pro-life versus pro-choice, you would discover this because of authority subs, because you would realize that there are in fact two components. And furthermore, if you have a large enough graph, finding out that they have disconnected components is not an easy thing, and this is actually as good a method as any to find disconnected components in the graph. So here is a scenario where we took something which I thought was a good idea, then realized it was a lemon, and so we decided to make lemonade. So we actually got communities out of it. So you can actually do authority subs computation to compute communities that are densely connected. Okay. So in fact, the example that they give is, if I say house, if I say house, first n values, the first in the beginning, you'll only get US Congress pages, apparently. I don't know why. I think this was 98, people had more pages pointing to US Congress. Now they point to probably housing market. Okay. So since more pages were in, you know, are related to the congressional meaning of House and Senate. All your answers came in the House, in the sense of Senate and, you know, Congress House. And then you remove all of them. In fact, you remove the important high authority pages. You don't have to remove the entire thing. All you have to do is remove the high authority pages. Okay. You know, imagine what happened in this place. You know, these guys are all betting their, you know, money on these guys, and these guys are betting as money on this guy. Now you did the first analysis, you would get this as the highest authority page. You remove P. So these guys are pointing nowhere. You don't have to remove them. You just have to remove P. Now this guy will win. And in fact, you'll also know what is the other community. Okay? So if you do that, in fact, the second community is how much house can you afford? I don't know, this could also be about Congress, but I don't know. how much house can you afford with a specific monthly payment, and so on and so forth, which is the other meaning of house. Remember we said, if you can somehow do clustering of pages and get some answers from each of the clusters, that might be better than just giving top 100 answers that might all correspond into one sense of the word. You're getting this here. Not bad. Okay. Well, unfortunately, I would still argue that what you got is lemonade and not lemon. Because consider the same thing, right? This is the one that we were looking at earlier, and you know, 4 and 5 are getting all the authority. You know, 4 and 5 are getting let's see, where did I go? Okay. So you again have the same exact example, except now I just had one page, 9, who then tries to make these guys get along by putting one link from here and one link from here. What happens now? Huge change in the authority value. Just one page. Now, this could actually have been 1 to million, and this could have been 1 to million minus 1. And so a total of 2 million and 2 pages are there. And you just added one extra page and two extra links. And you want to be stable. Stable means guys who had 0 as their authority should stay at 0. The guys who had 0 as their hub should stay at 0. One extra link from this poor guy who, you know, makes a huge difference in authorities and hub values. You can see that now, right? Because the moment you connect, suddenly you actually realize who are the important ones in the entire graph. This is not good. Because I almost don't care as to whether your importance numbers make sense or not. But if you keep changing it every night, then I definitely don't like you, at least for my search engine. Okay? So you could say whatever you want about, you know, look, I can use this to do community discovery, etc. But I would still say that to the extent you are unstable with respect to small changes, I don't like it. Okay? And it turns out that the answer to all this essentially winds up saying that all you need to do is the following. Don't ever allow disconnected components to exist at all. Because unfortunately, this only happens if there are disconnected components. All you need to do is to say that from every page with non-zero probability, you can go to any other page. Even though there are no links, act as if there are links. So suppose you originally itself said you could go from 4 to 8 with non-zero probability, or from 1 to 6 with non-zero probability. So with non-zero weight. Okay, the way you could do it is you can make a link, a virtual link, which has 0.0001 weight. Which means you can go from anywhere to anywhere. I'll just make that up in the beginning itself. The moment I do that, I have now immunized myself from the problem that this nine guy will cause to me. This idea essentially is saying, just put, you know, make sure that everything is reachable for every other thing. Now this is actually used across the board now in PageRank, which we'll discuss next class in more detail. They use that. And you could have used that idea here too, in Authorities Hubs too. Okay, now you might say, well, what does it mean to make up links when there are no links? Well, I'm not making a full link, I'm making 0.00001 link. And this is just to make sure that I won't have major instability later on. Okay? And if I put a virtual link of 0.0001, you may not like it. But I would say the same exact thing next class when we talk about PageRank. And I'll say that suppose there is a non-zero probability of going from every node in the link matrix to every other node. Very small, but non-zero. Probabilities, who cares? Yeah, I mean, probabilities, I'll let law have it. And you let me have it, then you again have this. You don't have disconnected components anymore. Okay? So, it's a Authorities Hub is a great idea, and it works quite well. It's actually, it can be made highly query specific. Okay? And we'll talk about a different idea, PageRank, which all it does is it does two different things. One is it, instead of thinking in terms of link matrices, it thinks in terms of probabilities of transitions. And the second thing it does is instead of computing link analysis at the query time on a small matrix, which are the results pages corresponding to the query, it computes the page rank importance upfront, even without seeing the query. So that means some people are important, some are not important. And some people are query specific, some are not query specific. So how do I rank? I say, so there are apples and there are oranges. I say alpha times apples plus beta times oranges is equal to something. And that something is what Google does. Okay? We'll look at that next time.